Yo, yo. All right. Thanks for checking out the new episode of the Phoenix MMA podcast. New episode. Sorry, there's been a little bit of lag time between it. Just get busy as always. So busy. But this is going to be a cool episode. I hope that you get something that you like from it. This one is, if you listen to this one, it's going to help your jiu-jitsu out a lot. But, not hopefully, if I can make a good point with it, if my notes and everything, if what I'm trying to think, if I can actually get it out and articulate and make it make some sense. In my head, it makes sense, and when I write down my notes, it makes sense, but hopefully I can get it across, and hopefully it helps you out. This episode really might be particularly good if you're feeling like you're in a rut, or you're, yeah, I think you know that it's there. Some people, I think, get possessed by it, and they don't really know. They're not aware that they are, or there's not kind of, there's some psychology principles that are pretty cool that once you learn them, you're like, oh, cool, this is a whole new filter on life that I wasn't even aware was there. So, you know, sometimes people are just not aware. But what this one's about is about negativity bias and how to conquer negativity bias, or one way to, because there's multiple ways to do everything, but just some little tips. From my experience with jiu-jitsu, and then I'm a hobbyist when it comes to anything with psychology or philosophy, things like that. It's just really, really intriguing to me, and because a lot of it has crossover. The reason why jiu-jitsu is extremely mental, and at the highest level of competition, the mindset is just as important, if not more important, than your physical attributes. You get to the point where everybody's super fast, super strong, has crazy cardio, super flexible. You get to that point, and each person's slightly different, but the mindset is really, really important at the highest level. So that got me into it. But so negativity bias, so I think this is something that either you can, it's like has like a black hole pull to it, strong gravitational pull that makes it hard to get away from it, because it's just in our biology, it's just the natural part of being human. So it's tough that it's there. And then also, if you know, you might not just not be aware that it's an actual thing, and so you could be I'm saying possessed by negativity bias, like a monster or something like that, or like possessed by a demon. But it can, if you're not aware of it, because you have to kind of combat it. Just like all positive behaviors or good things, you know, assets to your life as opposed to a liability. They're like having a garden. It's much easier for weeds to sprout up and grow than it is for you know, whatever flowers that you want in your arrangement. So you gotta. The good stuff, you gotta have discipline, you gotta work to keep the good stuff. It's a shame it doesn't automatically come, but once you get the habit of it, it's actually really, really fun to keep those positive things moving, because then you're moving in life and you're living your life. So instead of just watching it on TV or on Instagram. So so negativity bias. So what is negativity bias? You want to think negativity bias, it comes all the way from our caveman brain. So like, it's negativity bias has a very important role. There's a really important reason for it. It'll save your life. And more than likely, your ancestors, it probably saved their life at some point. So you got that biology passed down from wherever it was. But negativity bias, it's a really simple concept. Once you hear it, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And kind of, if you look into it some more, you'll say, oh, that makes sense. I could see that when I was scared to take that job promotion because I thought that I wasn't, you know, qualified for it, or I was worried about the stress, or, you know, having to move to a new city, or, you know, it's lots of times that like you get nervous and you don't take risk, or you don't try stuff. And then you kind of have, regrets, like professional regrets, really normal thing. But negativity bias, like there is a purpose for it, and you know, we have it in our genes, because it was more necessary at a point. And then now it's not like you should never have any negativity bias. I'm not going to say that to you, because it is smart to be practical and actually measure things and budget. Like I think you should budget. I think you could do it the opposite way too. Some people, if you're too open and maybe you're not super conscientious, or and you're super, super open, you're unorganized, you know, you could go into such a positivity positive bias that you have issues, you spend all your money, or you don't budget, or your business plan is just out of whack. So Joe Rogan has like a joke he always talks about, but it is a common thing. I work in nightclubs. I've seen it with people that will take like cocaine and stuff and want to make business plans or something like that. It's like they're just, everything's gonna work. Not saying that either. I'm not saying go crazy on the positivity bias, but the negativity bias is like caveman brain. The scenario that makes it easy for you to understand or think of it for me is you're a caveman, you're walking around the woods and you're looking for some berries, and then you see some berries, but then you see the bush kind of rustling behind it. So like at that point, you're a caveman, you're walking around with, maybe a dagger or something made of stone, whatever you have in your little kit that you're carrying. That could possibly be a tiger. If it's a tiger, like, you're gone, you're over, the tiger's gonna get you, can't outrun it, you're not gonna beat it, hand-to-hand fighting. So that negativity bias, it's like, do you stay there and you go, all right, I'm gonna go for those berries, I'm gonna try to get those berries, or do you run, and your natural instinct protection mechanism, negativity bias towards that bush causes you to run and go, however you get away, you run, and if you survive, it's like, sweet, negativity bias kept you from dying. So that's an example that's easy to see it. So why it could be there, and all you gotta do is just rewind the clock, open up a history book, whatever you want, just look through history. History was much more savage than it is now. It was extremely, extremely hard to even get food or water or anything, things that we take for granted now. That's like later on in this podcast going to go over like how to conquer negativity bias. I just got to get it out first, but I didn't have that in my notes. But one thing I'll say is appreciation for things like just air conditioning and food and water, things like that. Appreciation helps, but appreciation doesn't usually work. Lots of people say you gotta appreciate the good things. It's not just that. There's more pieces to it. It's not just appreciation. Appreciation is one piece that helps you out, but so negativity bias, that natural genetic drive that we have, it kind of permeates across the board. It goes all the time. In modern times, it hits us a lot of times where we probably don't need it to hit us. I think, if I remember right, I think it's the amygdala. I think the amygdala is has a strong component to it. But lots of times it won't serve us because, we're not in death situations constantly. Negativity bias, the negative thoughts, they're valuable to stick in your mind, because it's your environment or scenario or whatever's going on in the system you're in, letting you know that you need to work on something. So think of, let's see, notes. Yeah, we're still wired this way for good reason. Yeah, it hurts you daily. Think about this. If somebody gave you a positive compliment and then later on somebody gave you a negative compliment, the negative compliment actually sticks in your brain longer. It stinks that it does. It's frustrating that it does, but it sticks in there longer. The positive compliment will kind of most of the time go in one ear and go out the other ear, and you just don't you don't give it enough weight. The negative comment, you give it a lot of weight, because again, it's a natural thing to have negativity bias. So we give it more weight, we let it stick longer, and it stresses it out, and it's really like like walking around with a weight vest, and it makes it harder to come up with like creative, positive concepts and stuff when you have that negativity bias weight that's really, really holding you down. Makes it just difficult. So it's really difficult in jiu-jitsu if you have a negativity bias on every concept that you learn, technique that you learn. If you're constantly, what we're going to do, if you got it, you don't realize what's going on, but if you're constantly looking at it in a negative light, it's going to be very hard to learn, because your game's going to stagnate, and things that you maybe should learn, like new concepts or new techniques, you will scoff at them, and you'll say, oh no, there's no reason to learn that. So your game just kind of gets stuck. It goes the way of the CDs. CDs, Tower Records went out of business. So, it hurts your jiu-jitsu development. We'll go to that next. But so, are you possessed by negativity bias? Is it running rampant in your life, or do you have it under control and you're using it as a tool? Or is it just running wild? Maybe if you didn't even know that negativity bias was the thing, like, you can kind of check. Like, check your behaviors, how you talk to people, when you interact at work. Like, do you constantly complain about, you know, shifts or et cetera, et cetera? Are you constantly complaining? That's a really normal one. I obviously know that there's bad situations and everything, but there's silver linings and everything as well. And it'll sneak up on you quick. Let's see. I got a questionnaire thing that I got a question. We'll do an ABC in just a second. Let's see for notes. Yeah. Do you always, you know, if someone's having a conversation with you, like, hey, how's it going? Or, oh, at least, you know, it's nice and sunny today or something like that. Do you always manage to find a way to complain or put a dark filter on a conversation? Just so you know, we all do it. We all do it from time to time. It's just I think it's like gorging on Oreos late at night. It's just a behavior. It's like an impulse that we have, but we got to control it. So I mess up and I gorge on Oreos at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., of course, but I don't do it all the time. And I know that it's not it's not good for my health. It's not good for everything across the board. So I don't consistently do it. If I do it, I'm like, all right, can't do that again. You know, and I need to get back on my diet, be strict on my diet, and then my body feels better. And honestly, every once in a while, doing the Oreo purge reminds me why I don't need to give into that bad habit. So negativity bias, it'll sneak up on you because it's part of us and we all do it sometimes. But it's just, you know, are you trying to, no matter what someone says to you, are you finding a negative spin or a negative filter to throw on it? Here we go. ABC. All right. Let's see if you want to do this, or just see which one best describes you. When a new concept is brought to your attention, do you agree with it and try it immediately? B, carefully study it. It gains your curious attention. C, find liability in said concept, its reversal or its pitfall. Okay. So A, if you agree with it right away when you hear a new concept, you might be on that positivity bias, which you got to be smart with that. You got to be careful. You can run into like a bad business plan or something. You still should pay attention to the things, weigh it out. B, carefully study it, gain your curious attention. That you're basically curious. You like to study things. There's maybe you're just not a super extrovert. You're not too fast to move, but things do, concepts still get you curious. And then C, find the liability in said concept, it's reversal or pitfall. So if you got C, you might be, it might be negativity bias that's shaping a lot of your opinions or your behaviors. It's not bad, especially with like tactics and strategy. Again, negativity bias might protect you. It might cause you to not be robbed. Like, you know, if you're walking back to your car, let's say, so working downtown, you're walking to your car at 4 a.m. and you are a bartender and you have a lot of money in your, you know, your purse or in your pocket. You know, you just got done working. If at 3:30 a.m. or 4 a.m. you're walking in your parking garage and there's three people that you don't know walking towards you quickly in a straight line, negativity bias might save your life in that scenario. It really might. So I'm not saying that you should just get to a mindset where it's nothing but positivity bias, but when it comes to trying to get good at a skill or start a business or trying to go for a promotion with a job or, you know, move to a new city, it can take control too much. And this with jiu-jitsu, it's not all terrible. It's just only if you only hit it from one direction. I think that's what makes it bad or messes you up. So what that would be is like, say you're learning an armbar in class. Okay, so if you're just negativity biased, you're like, okay, how do I make this armbar not work? Like, how do I diffuse it? How do I mess it up? And there's easy ways to mess up all techniques, like just moving one hand or one wrist in another direction or an ankle, or you just move like that. It's actually really easy to break down a whole lot of techniques, a whole lot of concepts. It's more difficult to understand on the positivity side, to actually understand how to apply it and then how to how to apply it, how to set it up, how to make it work. It's more difficult. It's more difficult to be offensive than it is defensive. But being offensive is how you win matches. Being offensive is how you actually get submissions. Being offensive is how you actually get the promotion at your job, or being offensive is how you actually ask that person out on a date. Being on offense is proactive in your life. Being on defense, you absolutely have to have valuable defensive skills. If you have zero defense to a straight arm bar, then you're going to get caught with arm bars all the time. But if you're only in a defense mode, then you're just going to be a punching bag for arm bar left side, arm bar right side, Kimura, guillotine, cross collar choke, and eventually you are going to get caught, because you're stagnant. So movement is growth. Movement's life, rather. Yeah, negativity bias. So it can get you with technical things, and then it can just wear you down like a weight too. Again, like on the compliment example, if you think somebody giving you a negative comment or a positive compliment, how the negative will stick with you longer. Maybe the person who gave you that negative statement, maybe you shouldn't put any value in there what they're saying. Maybe it's just their opinion and you have different tastes. Say you had a hairstyle and somebody was to laugh at your hairstyle or something like that. People have different tastes, like pizza. Like, everybody doesn't like the exact same brand pizza, everybody doesn't like the same topping on pizza, but that doesn't mean that everybody that you that 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 you should, there should be only one type of pizza that everybody likes. That'd be silly. Like, we know that's not the case. So a hairstyle, somebody was to say something about your hairstyle, or let's say you lose your jiu-jitsu match or something like that, and you get a negative comment on your, if you have an athlete page or something like that, you get too much into the comments and you let negativity bias take over. Well, then you just forget the fact that, like, you just won a tournament last weekend, or, you had something really good. You had like a great, let's say you lost in the tournament, but you hit a really good omoplata. Like, you're going to be unhappy about losing, but also you have to weigh the positive that you scored a really good omoplata. So you have to weigh those out. And there's a really good book that's called Wrestling Tough. I think I was in high school, I read it. And it goes over that, how, well, one of the things you want to do is that you need to work in some positivity into your life. And one of the things Dan Gable did that in the book that was a good thing for his athletes is that he regularly throughout the season had banquets and had events. So he was working in positive influences, because college wrestling for Dan Gable in college is very grueling, difficult. Takes a whole lot of discipline, burns a lot of people out. To normal part is that people get burned out because the workload's so high and it's at such a high stress level that a lot of people get burned out. But in the book, it talks about how you would work in banquets and things. So if you think with a sports team, you have an award banquet. Those things are really important. They're really good. And then what that is that you're interjecting some positivity into it, and you got to outsmart your brain. You got to outsmart your brain, as funny as that sounds. Once you understand how your brain works, and you can say, okay, I know that you have, you weight negative things a little bit more. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to regularly decide to focus on some positive things, because I need to even out. I need to even out that weight or that ratio between positive and negative. It's really hard to get really good at jiu-jitsu with a negativity bias only mindset. That's the whole point of this podcast, is that it's really hard to learn, and you'll get stagnant and you'll get stuck. You'll notice that you can't pass guards, you can't get submissions, you can't get sweeps, you can't get takedowns if you go into too much of a negativity bias. Because you'll stagnate, you won't take risk, you won't try new techniques, and your game will get stuck. So that's the real point of this podcast, but is to help you out, kind of take the weight off and make it easier for you to learn jiu-jitsu. Drains valuable resources like your energy, because it causes you to stress constantly about things. Just another liability of letting negativity bias be turned on constantly. We're gonna go into like some of the things you can do to help you control negativity bias. But first, I'm just going to go into neuroticism for just a little bit. And This will just be my personal experience, so not talking about anybody else, but I'll just give mine. So with being a jiu-jitsu instructor, people might think that I'm a natural extrovert and actually like very, very, I'd say very positive or very self-confident, but it's actually, that's not the case. Not natural. When I first started public speaking or talking to a small group or teaching, super stressful, super anxiety. It's exciting, like public speaking or talking to people, teaching something. It was always exciting, but very nervous. I remember having a school or a class in school, a media class, and it was a really good exercise that our teacher did, our media teacher, but he made us speak, I think just for 10 minutes, and put a spotlight on us in the classroom, and the rest of the class, you know, sat around you like an audience, and you had to speak. And I remember everyone in the class just got stressed out, except for the natural extroverts who just like to talk naturally. Everybody got stressed out, and it really messed with you, but it was a good exercise. If you think I'm a natural at that, I'm not a natural at all. I used to be super, super nervous to talk, super shy, but doing jiu-jitsu and learning more skill and going into some of these concepts, like challenging myself constantly every day, every week, every month, every year, challenging myself. So that's one of the key points that helps out. But I'm a natural neurotic. Like I've never been tested, but just listening to lectures, I got decently high levels of neuroticism. Just natural. So that just comes down to your genetics and comes, you know, it's everything from your biology to your environment and, you know, like even multiple generations. Like, you don't get to pick how many, serotonin receptor sites you have in your brain or dopamine receptor sites that you have in your brain. Just the same way that you don't get to choose how tall you are, your testosterone, natural testosterone levels, or the length of your legs or your arms, things like that. It's just kind of, you're just born, and it's a little roll of the dice with your genetics. And then I think you're just supposed to learn yourself and learn how to deal with yourself the best you can. And all the cool thing is all of us are slightly different. So that's your own little journey to figure yourself out. But yeah, I'm definitely a natural neurotic. I'm a natural neurotic. It's one of the reasons why I focused on learning how to deal with negativity bias. I don't know exactly when it hit, but there was some point, I think actually wrestling is what taught me the concept. I always liked sports, and I've done sports since I was 5 years old, Pee Wee football, and I love sports. It was always one of my favorite things, but something about wrestling, when I started doing wrestling, because it was an individual sport, I think that's one of the big keys, is be it with wrestling and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Muay Thai kickboxing and boxing, MMA, being an individual sport, it teaches you that you have to solve problems. You have to figure out, you have to identify what the problem is. You have to then study it. You have to practice against it. And you learn how to overcome like difficult problems by yourself and on yourself, not just by yourself, because you do it with your teammates and your coaches too. So it still has a team bonding thing, part to it. That's good. But for whatever reason, wrestling is when it started to click for me. I didn't know how to learn when I was very young. I was did very bad in elementary and middle school. I couldn't pay attention. You know, things just didn't interest me. And I thought I was really, really stupid. I thought I couldn't learn very well. And then when I started wrestling, that was the when things started to click with me, because I would run into issues with certain opponents, and then I would study. And then I just learned, like when I would read books or when I would study videos, tape, I would start to figure out the problems, you know. But for whatever reason, just math didn't appeal to me very much. So when I was doing math, I thought it was stupid. But anyway, so that's when I started to say, okay, sweet. When I have an issue, if I research it and I read about it and I seek out people with specialized knowledge on the subject, I can probably learn something from them and make it better than just where I am naturally. So around wrestling is when I started to start doing this with different things. And neuroticism and negativity bias was just one of the things I didn't know. And once I heard the concept, I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Then I started learning about it. So, real quick on neuroticism. Yeah. It's, if you haven't looked up the term before, it's really interesting. Look up neuroticism. You could see how high you are on the levels, but it's a sensitivity to negative emotion. If you're thinking about somebody that's neurotic, like if you know someone who is volatile or touchy, or they fly off the handle easily, they are sad, morose, anxious, or tend to avoid difficult situations, they might have high levels of neuroticism. So, you know, it might just be that, you know, that you have your genetics, your genes, your biology tilts you that way, and then also could be your environment that you're born into, or the experiences through your life, so that they affect everything as well. You got to be self-aware. So you have to kind of inventory your personality, inventory the way that you look at the world, like different ideas and just overall, like, what's your mood every day. If you're high in neuroticism, sometimes you're not even aware of it. You're just stressed out constantly, and you don't know why you are. You're just, you know, you wonder why. So it could be invisible to you. So if maybe this is the first time you've heard this concept and you're saying, oh, wow, I might have decent levels of neuroticism, it's not no reason to, like, fret or stress out too much. It's you just want to learn how to control it. And it can actually, you can turn into an asset. I think, if you learn how to harness it, it's a strong fuel source. A lot of people that are actually high achievers that do succeed at high levels in sporting events or music or writers or all these things. Lots have high levels of neuroticism. And it ends up forcing you to make yourself better and constantly work on yourself. So lots of people that are high achievers do have high levels of neuroticism. And so you can use it as a fuel source and turn into some positivity in your life and not just make not just stress you out for no reason. So let's use it for some good stuff. A little note. Just like studying jiu-jitsu matches, like wrestling and jiu-jitsu is when I first started learning how to study really, really well, how to study opponents. I kind of almost thought of when I started researching neuroticism, I was like, okay, this is an opponent. I'm going to figure it out in a similar way. Everything has pros and cons. Everything has strengths and weaknesses. So let's find how to work on it or combat it. So, okay, notes aside. Yeah, if you're a natural extrovert, you probably don't, you know, you're probably not even listening to this podcast, or you haven't gone this far if you're a natural extrovert. Extroverts are gregarious, assertive, enthusiastic. So if you've met somebody naturally just like that, and you never know, if you judge somebody, you don't know, they could have just worked on themselves a lot and got to the point they can public speak, or they can introduce themselves to strangers very easily, things like that. So they could have done it with work and discipline, or they could be natural. If you're a natural extrovert, yeah, again, you're probably not stressing out about this neuroticism talk. It's not stressing about it too much. You might have a different issue that you need to, again, it's all just self-awareness. There's no thing that's better or worse than other. We need all types of people. We complement each other. But if you're on the super extrovert side, you might want to make sure that you're not too arrogant, too cocky, too closed-minded. I think you can go down that path if you're like super, super naturally extroverted. Everybody knows that person that you're just like, they're, you know, they have a lot of good qualities about them, but they're just so arrogant and so cocky, it's hard to even sit and just relax at a table with them and eat lunch or go to the movies or something like that, just miserable. So, let's get back to notes. All right. So some tips. So here we're going to go to how to harness it, how to control it. All right. Your negativity bias. So we identified it. And this is me talking about the neuroticism with myself. It's just so you can understand that I didn't get this easy. It was not easy. Jiu-jitsu is not easy for me to learn. I really liked learning jiu-jitsu. That was the main advantage I had. Is that I really, really liked it when I started. It was so fun. It was so, so exciting, so fun. It really, really piqued my interest. But it was not natural for me. Jiu-jitsu was not natural. Dealing with negativity bias was not natural either. I think I actually was tended biologically against it. So I had to work extra hard to go against it. So something that would be really good for you. Also, with all this, just so you know, I'm amateur in this realm. I'm amateur. I'm just talking about anecdotal, my life, things. Maybe it'll help you out. Maybe it will help you with your jiu-jitsu. But you can check out, you want to check out something called cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, you could pay a therapist to learn how to do it. Nothing wrong with that. You know, having like a guide or a coach, like a boxing coach or jiu-jitsu coach, or consulting your doctor if you have something wrong with your knee. That's smart things to do. You could also, just like all things, you could research it yourself and look up cognitive behavioral therapy. It can help you out with a lot of things. This is just a quick, rough little pushover on it. It's kind of, you think about your thoughts and emotions almost like weather patterns. So your internal dialogue your entire internal dialogue that everybody has, instead of if you have negative thoughts, instead of just letting them run wild and cause you to catastrophize and, you know, think like, oh, there's no way I'm going to sweep this guy because his base is too good and his guard passes are so good and he's so strong. He's got such good balance. There's no, so you get in that internal dialogue. Next thing you know, when you try your sweep, you don't really even try it. You try like 20 or 30%. Same thing with guard pass. You're like, oh no, there's no way I can pass their guard. So you'll mess yourself up. But cognitive behavioral therapy will help you kind of identify that your moods and emotions can kind of be like weather patterns. You can observe them and not jump into them too far and let them run off with you and cause you to catastrophize. So it can kind of help you learn how to control. Maybe not control your moods is the best thing, but make it so that you don't make your moods worse than they need to be, and just understand that there's multiple factors to it. Another one that you want to do, another tip, you understand with this is all these are tips on negativity bias, just they're variables that are added in. So you want to understand that blood sugar, diet, stress, sleep, hormones, amount of work hours that you've done, personal disasters in your life, like health issues, all these things, they all play a factor. Like, you know, how much sleep you get plays a factor, or, you know, your food, like your blood sugar levels, are they steady? Are they spiking up and down constantly? Are you eating tons of processed foods? Are you eating things that are bad for your stomach? And that takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of study. That takes a lot of self-work to get those. But with all those things, your sleep too, as well, if you're not getting adequate sleep or healthy sleep or good quality sleep, all these things are different categories that you want to work on. The diet's the easiest when everybody's constantly thinking, oh, I need to clean up my diet. I need to clean up my diet. But you might also want to clean up your sleep. You might want to clean up your sleep. You want to clean up, diet's definitely one. Let's see, next one. The next one is this one's really important. You want to decide to regularly face and challenge yourself with difficult tasks. Really, really important. Life is difficult. You're going to run into headaches constantly. Jiu-jitsu is difficult. You're going to run into headaches constantly. Every single time you get a good guard pass down, or you win a tournament, or you do anything, there's always going to be a headache that pops up. Like, this is just universal. There's always headaches. If you purposely decide to challenge yourself, like consistently, weekly, monthly basis, this could be the form of jiu-jitsu practice. This could be lifting weights. This could be running. This could be boxing. This could be competing in a tournament, having an MMA fight, all these things. I from my experience, it's better to just face challenges. Choose to face a challenge that you would enjoy head on, and when you choose to face those challenges head on, you prepare for it. It makes you make yourself a better person, and then it makes you more resilient to future headaches and stresses. The other option is you avoid all the headaches, you avoid all the stress, you avoid all the work that's necessary to be done, and you just seek refuge and comfort. But the problem is with that refuge of comfort, it temporarily relieves your stress and chills you out, but it weakens you. It makes you less resilient. And it makes it so the longer that you stay in that comfort, you become less resilient, and something that's smaller and smaller could knock you off kilter. So if you challenge yourself consistently, you might as well challenge yourself with things that you like to do, whether it's jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or whatever type thing. And every single time you do that, you're checking something on your box, and it's making you tougher, more resilient, more competent, and it makes it easier for you to deal with problems in your future. Let's see. Notes. Better to take on a difficult task willingly and grow than to avoid difficulty for comfort. That lowers your self-esteem because your subconscious constantly judges you. Your subconscious is annoying. It does. It constantly will judge you with things, and it feeds in a negativity bias too, and then it stresses you out even more, or makes you look at yourself in a negative light. Next one, number four, seek other positive friends. This is one of the biggest ones. Like, every business book I've ever read, every entrepreneurial book I've read, every sports psychology book I've ever read, every like autobiography or biography that I've ever read, it is such a common theme all the time that your environment is really, really important. If you're around a lot of negative people, a lot of people that constantly just complain and complain and complain and just look for all the bad things in life, that's their goal every day, is to wake up and find bad things in their life just to complain about. You are going to keep yourself, you're looking at everything with a negative filter, with a dark filter. So it's going to keep you in that state. That's all you see. That's all you see, and that's all you're looking for. So that's all you're going to keep seeing. But attitudes are really contagious. And if you're around people that are nice and friendly and positive and motivated and energetic, and disciplined, all these things, they rub off. Attitudes are contagious. They rub off on each other. And so it's one of the cool things about of like a MMA gym culture, a good jiu-jitsu gym culture, is how much like there's like a really positive energy in the room because everybody's working on themselves by training. Like, everybody's using discipline to come in there and you know, drill an armbar over and over and over and over, and then in just a little bit, you know, we're working on takedown rounds, and you know, your neck gets sore, and your back gets sore, and then after that, we're gonna spar for 30 minutes, and you know, you're tired, and your heart rate's elevated, and you're sweating, sweat's in your eye, and somebody else's sweat is falling on your face, and you're working hard, and like, you know, you pull your quad a little bit, and your shoulder's a little bit tense, but you get done, you did a really, you know, use discipline, use focus on all these things, and you did some, you essentially did some positive self-work on yourself. You made yourself a better person. You made yourself healthier, stronger, more athletic, more skillful, all these things. And your subconscious is almost like it tells you, like, hey, thanks, you know, appreciate you, like, doing something for us. Like, this feels pretty good. So gyms will have, you know, a lot of people in the gym will be smiling because that's one of the keys to happiness, actually, is working on yourself. And you have to use discipline. Working on yourself using discipline and fun things. So you find those fun challenges that you can exercise your discipline and you learn how, and then you ramp them up as you get better and you get stronger. You ramp them up to another difficulty. If you win a local jiu-jitsu tournament, you want to win the local jiu-jitsu tournament, then maybe you want to win the absolute of your weight or your local jiu-jitsu tournament. Then you want to go to a larger tournament, IBJJF. Then you want to go to maybe something bigger, a national, or a world championship, or another country. You know, you maybe want to go to Brazil or Japan or Portugal. So you want to go to these bigger, and you take steps up. And then it makes it easier to, you know, it has crossover for the rest of things, but it builds real self-esteem as well, because real self-esteem you have to earn. You earn real self-esteem by overcoming difficulties and acting in good character, but you have to earn it. It can't be given. You can't just tell. I just don't know if it's, again, I could be wrong. I mean, it could be wrong with everything, but what I notice with people is that if you just give them compliments, people might just think that they're empty compliments and that it doesn't like resonate, doesn't stick with them. But when you work for something and you earn something, I just notice it in the gym with students that it changes people's confidence, it changes their outlook, changes how they hold their shoulders, their posture, how they stand, the amount of eye contact they'll use. It changes a lot, but it's real self-esteem, because you start losing weight, your body starts getting better, you start feeling better. Yeah, anyway, real self-esteem. It builds up, but you have to work for it. Let's see, number five. Yeah, so this is the last part, and I know this has been a bit of a rant. Again, I'm just speaking from my own experience and in books that I've read and lectures, etc. And I'm still myself working on becoming a better speaker and better teacher, constantly trying to do it. It's part of what I do this podcast with. But number five is probably the most important piece on this, is that if you're rock bottom, all of this, you listen into this negativity bias, you're probably really stuck in. If you're at rock bottom, like legitimate rock bottom, financially or emotionally, or your family, you know, something really bad's happened in your life. If you're rock bottom, everything I just talked about probably is making you sick. Like, you know, you just like, I don't want to hear about this positivity mumbo jumbo. Like, it's so annoying to listen to. If you're at rock bottom, you might even have disdain for it. Just, it's a turn off. Trust me, I understand. I totally understand. It is so hard, and it doesn't even feel good to hear it. A good podcast, if you wanted some positive, something to refill your battery, would be Kevin Hart on Joe Rogan. Kevin Hart, he's just going off. It's kind of like a hype session, the whole podcast. But if you're at rock bottom, I would understand that listening to that Kevin Hart podcast would just, you'd just like, oh, this is so annoying. I don't want to hear you talk about this. So if you're at rock bottom and you want to take some advice or want to work on your negativity bias, try a positivity bias for 90 days. Try it for 90 days. If you try a positivity bias for 90 days, it does not mean that everything's going to work out for you. It doesn't mean that everything's going to succeed and everything's going to work. But if you use a positivity bias instead of a negativity bias, even when you're at rock bottom and you feel like you just don't want to do anything at all, instead of just playing video games, instead of just watching TV, find something difficult. Find something that would be worthwhile if you got good at it. You know, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, boxing, you know, rock climbing, anything. Find something difficult, and even if you don't believe it initially, use positivity bias. Use it for just a little bit, and all you have to say is just, I'm going to go to practice 3 days a week, and I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to do a good job. And it does not mean that it's going to work. But let's say, let's just put in an easy number. If you make 10 attempts a week, maybe all those are practices or reading chapters and books or whatever you decide, the thing that would be cool if you got good at it. If you make 10 attempts a week, let's say that you're not good yet. You just start out. So out of those 10 attempts, you get three wins. You get 7 losses. And then the next week, you make 10 more attempts. You get 3 wins and 7 losses. So your record is 6-14. Not too awesome, right? Not, you know, nothing to brag about. But your record is still better than the person who is only using negativity bias, because the person who's using negativity bias keeps scoring 0, 0, 0. So even if you're scoring every week 2 wins, 2 wins, 3 wins, 1 win, 3 wins, 2 wins, it's compound interest. There's a compound interest effect. And if you will use positivity bias for 90 days, if you're at rock bottom, more than likely after that 90 days, you're not actually going to be at rock bottom anymore. Doesn't mean you're completely out of the hole. Doesn't mean that you have the position at your company that you want, or your job that you want, or your guard passer as good as you positively want, or, you know, anything your social media has built up to the point that you want. But it more than likely, if you really, really go work at it for 90 days, it will be higher than rock bottom, and then you will have brought yourself out of rock bottom, and also you'll build a habit. And also one of the keys to happiness is choosing an aim, choosing a goal, and then stepping towards that goal. It's not the only part of happiness. It's just one piece. It is a component, but it will help. And even if every week you only get 2 victories out of 10 attempts, it will still start to add up, and you get that compound interest. So anyway, Hope that rant made some sense, or hope it helped somebody. If it didn't make any sense, I apologize. I appreciate you listening to the podcast anyway, but hopefully it helped you out if you need it, and it gave you some good stuff. If you if you're interested in neuroticism or the extroversion, you want to look up the big psychological traits. They're really interesting. They're pretty cool to learn about when it comes to conscientiousness, like your work ethic, your work rate, and then openness, like your interest in ideas and aesthetics. I think that stuff's pretty interesting. So, but check some of that stuff out. Hopefully this podcast, hopefully you enjoyed it. Have more to come. All right. See you, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.